For the UALR English Department, I'm J. Bradley Minnick. Welcome to this program celebrating the birth of Shakespeare almost 450 years ago today. In honor of this occasion, we've invited UALR English instructor Frank Thurmond, a scholar of Renaissance literature and music, to discuss the significance of this day in literary history, along with a demonstration of Renaissance lute music from Shakespeare's England. Frank Thurmond, welcome.
Thanks for inviting me.
What can you tell us about the significance of this day in literary history?
Well, April 23rd is the day that Shakespeare's birth is traditionally celebrated. We know from historical documents that William Shakespeare was baptized on April 26th, 1564, since we also know that people at that time were generally baptized several days after birth, April 23rd is the day we celebrate as Shakespeare's birthday. And considering the fact that we know he died 52 years later on the same day, April 23rd is the day to commemorate both Shakespeare's birth and his death. So one might wonder if at his death, Shakespeare recalled the words he gave to Cassius in Julius Caesar as he also died on his very birthday. This day I breathed first. Time has come round, and where I did begin, there shall I end.
There are other literary associations with this date, too?
Yes, a number of writers in the centuries since Shakespeare's death either were born or died on April 23rd. For example, Shakespeare's Renaissance contemporary, Miguel Cervantes, author of Don Quixote, died in Madrid on the same day that Shakespeare died in Stratford-upon-Avon, April 23rd, 1616. For this reason, the day is known in various countries as the Day of the Writers, and it's been designated as World Book Day by UNESCO, the United Nations Educational and Cultural Organization.
I see you brought your Renaissance lute to the studio.
Yeah, this is the instrument that was everywhere in Elizabethan society. Much like the guitar today, you would have heard it being performed in just about every context imaginable, from street corners and pubs to performances of plays at the Globe Theater and at courtly occasions for Queen Elizabeth I.
Is there any music originally performed on the lute in Shakespeare's time that we still might recognize today?
Certainly, especially when it comes to the hundreds of popular ballads and associated tunes pervading Elizabethan society. Some of these ballad tunes eventually made their way to North America during colonial times and are still current today. An obvious example of this is the ballad known as Greensleeves.
Would you perform this for us on the lute?
Oh, certainly. And here to sing the original lyrics is local author and recent UALR alumnus Sam Calvin Brown.
Hi, Sam, and welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously when I have loved you well and long, delighting in your company. Green seas was all my joy, green seas was my delight. Green seas was my heart of gold, and who but my lady Greensleeves? Your vows you've broken like my heart, oh why did you so enrapture me? Now I remain in a world apart, but my heart remains in captivity. Green seas was all my joy, green seas was my delight. Green seas was my heart of gold, and who but my lady Greensleeves? I have been ready at your hand to grant whatever you would crave. I have both wagered my life and land, your love and goodwill for to have. Was all my joy, green seas was my delight. Green seas was my heart of gold, and who but my lady Greensleeves? Our queen sees now, farewell, adieu. To God I pray to prosper thee, for I am still thy lover true. Come once again and love me. Was all my joy, green seas was my delight. Green seas was my heart of gold, and who but my lady green seas.
Many people would recognize that tune today as the setting of the Christmas song, What Child Is This?
Right, and in Shakespeare's time, too, certain tunes were often set to various different ballad lyrics.
What do we know about which tunes were used in the original productions of Shakespeare's plays?
Well, we have only a few instances where scholars can say with some degree of confidence which tunes were used for specific original songs in the plays, and these include the settings of Songs from the Tempest by composer Robert Johnson, who was associated with Shakespeare's company, the King's Men, as a lutenist. What we do know are the popular ballad tunes that have come down to us, and Shakespeare's characters make reference to hundreds of ballads. When a character even so much as mentions a popular ballad of the day, the reference would have resonated with everyone in the audience, whatever their social status. The actual tune didn't need to be performed at all for the mere suggestion to be evocative. So despite the scholarly debate about what audiences would have seen at original performances of Shakespeare's plays, through music, we can experience something of what they actually heard and knew intrinsically.
Can you give us an example?
Well, yes. Take the song you just heard Sam sing, Greensleeves. That ballad is referred to by name twice in Shakespeare's play, The Merry Wives of Windsor. Another such ballad is known as Fortune My Foe. This is the song a condemned traitor would have heard being sung by spectators during a public execution by hanging, or worse.
Sounds like the last song you'd ever want to be serenaded with.
It was. Here's how it sounds.
Fortune, my foe, why dost thou frown on me? And will thy favors never better be? Wilt thou, I say, forever breed my pain? And wilt thou not restore my joys again? Far worse than death, my life I lead in woe, with bitter thoughts still tossed to and fro. Oh, cruel chance, thou breeder of my pain, take life or else restore my love again. Seek or search my love to find, when fortune fleets and wavers as the wind. Sometimes aloft, sometimes again below, thus tottering fortune tottereth to and fro.
That is a sad tune. Where is it mentioned by Shakespeare?
That ballad is mentioned by Shakespeare's notorious character Falstaff, who says at one point,
"I see what thou wert if fortune thy foe were not nature thy friend."
The ballad reference there is clear, and again, just mentioning that ballad on stage conjured up numerous dark and even terrifying connotations for the audience. A happier allusion might be to one of the many ballads about Robin Hood, as much of a folk hero in Shakespeare's time as he still is to us today. Here's a popular Elizabethan lute tune associated with stories of Robin Hood.
Well, that's a happier allusion, but the lute has a natural melancholy sound, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Could you also give us an example of how Shakespeare and his company might have used existing ballad tunes to set original songs from the plays?
Well, yes, yeah, so almost certainly ballad tunes were often used as needed to set songs for individual performances. Here, for example, is a popular Elizabethan ballad called "Go From My Window." The first two stanzas we'll perform are from the original ballad of that name. The last stanza is a song sung by Ophelia in Hamlet, which scholars have conjectured could be set to this tune thanks to the perfect metrical fit of the words and music. Regardless, following such practices in modern productions of Shakespeare's plays would give audiences today a much more authentic experience of Shakespearean drama than we normally get. Here's "Go From My Window."
Go from my window, love, go. Go from my window, my dear. The wind and the rain will drive you back again. You cannot be lodged here. Be gone, my juggy, my puggy. Be gone, my love, my dear. The weather is warm, 'twill do thee no harm, thou canst not be lodged here. And will he not come again? Will he not come again? No, no, he is dead. Go to thy deathbed, he never will come again. No, no, he is dead. Go to thy deathbed, he never will come again.
At least that does sound more upbeat, despite Ophelia's lyrics. Speaking of meter, weren't music and poetry seen in the Renaissance as being especially related to each other?
Yeah, and this was part of the rediscovery of classical Greek and Roman knowledge that the Renaissance, the term means rebirth after all, was all about. The Greek philosopher Plato wrote in The Republic, for example, that musical training is a more potent instrument than any other. And he goes on to argue, as did his student Aristotle later, that music is one of the most important aspects of early education, including development of character. This idea is echoed in a line spoken by the character Lorenzo in Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice.
The man who hath no music in himself, nor is not moved by concord of sweet sounds, is fit for treasons, stratagems, and spoils. The motions of his spirit are dull as night, and his affections dark as Erebus. Let no such man be trusted.
For Shakespeare and his contemporaries, the most iconic illustration of the power of poetry and music combined is that of the mythological character Orpheus, the legendary poet-musician who could, as Shakespeare writes, move even inanimate objects with the power of his music and singing.
So it's no coincidence that the chief poetic form of Shakespeare's time was the sonnet.
Yeah, and the very name of which is derived, after all, from an Italian word meaning little song. And finally, on that note, here's a sonnet by Shakespeare's contemporary, Richard Barnfield, which captures beautifully the close connection between poetry and music. In it, you'll hear John Dowland, the famous lutenist from Shakespeare's day, being compared with the poet Edmund Spenser. Here's Sam Brown again to read the sonnet for us.
If music and sweet poetry agree, as they must needs, the sister and the brother, then must the love be great twixt thee and me, because thou lovest the one and I the other. Dowland to thee is dear, whose heavenly touch upon the lute doth ravish human sense. Spenser to me, whose deep conceit is such as, passing all conceit, needs no defense. Thou lovest to hear the sweet melodious sound that Phoebus' lute, the queen of music, makes, and I in deep delight am chiefly drowned when as himself to singing he betakes. One God is God of both, as poets feign. One knight loves both, and both in thee remain.
I know we're all familiar with another English folk ballad that has stood the test of time and is still widely known today.
Now, that's right. Simon and Garfunkel popularized the English ballad Scarborough Fair in the soundtrack to The Graduate.
And to conclude, would you leave us with that monumental song?
Gladly.
Sure.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Without no seams, no fine needle work. Then she'll be a true love of mine. Find me an acre of land, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Between the salt water and the sea strand, then she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it with a sickle of leather, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Gather it all in a bunch of heather. Then she'll be a true love of mine. going to Scarborough Fair. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
Broadcast from the University District, this has been a special program on KUAR FM 89. Thanks for joining us this evening. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow will be back next week at its regularly scheduled time. This Shakespeare's Birthday special and other programming that airs on this station can be found at KUAR.org. Leave us a comment there and let us know what you thought about the program. On behalf of the UALR English Department, Frank Thurmond and Sam Brown, I'm J. Bradley Minnick, wishing you a thousand times good night.
I'm Henry Louis Gates Jr., and this is Moments to Remember. What African-American man was one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of the 19th century? Ira Aldridge earned international recognition as an actor in England, Scotland, Ireland, and in the United States. Ira Aldridge was born a free man in New York City in 1807. In 1824, he left the United States to study drama in Scotland. At the age of 18, Ira Aldridge debuted at the Royal Coburg Theatre in London. He had a leading role as the prince in a play called A Slave's Revenge. This is a moment to remember. Aldridge gained additional fame when he debuted at the Theatre Royal in London as Othello. He also traveled worldwide playing such roles as Macbeth, King Lear, and Richard III. He was the first black actor to perform in both Croatia and in Serbia. In 1863, Ira Aldridge became a citizen of Great Britain. In 1867, he died of respiratory failure while on tour in Poland. A special seat is dedicated in Ira Aldridge's memory at the Shakespeare Memorial Theatre in Stratford-on-Avon in England. I'm Henry Louis Gates, Jr.